Good morning. Great to see everyone here this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. And it's good to see each and every one of you here. A warm welcome and a special welcome to anyone visiting our church this morning. It's good to see all of you too. Now then, I have a ton of stuff to get through. I've told Dan he can have a little nap while I get through all of my stuff here. Not in any particular order. Eric Reed. Where's Eric Reed? Congratulations to Eric Reed, now a Bachelor of Science. Well done, Eric. He's a Bachelor of Science and he's got a major in something technical. You'll have to talk to him afterwards and he'll tell you what it is. But well done, Eric. Our congratulations to him. Hard work, study, sticking in there, and it pays off. Good for you, Eric. Well done. What have I got next now then? This thing. Our new piano has arrived. Isn't that great? It's lovely to see our new piano. We are so thankful to God that he has directed us, and we really believe that God has directed us to bring this piano here to his glory and honour. And I would just like us to say a little prayer of dedication of our new piano. So I better stay here at the microphone so God can hear me. Shall we just bow our heads? Gracious Father, we are so thankful. We are thankful that you have directed our ways to this beautiful instrument to your glory. We are thankful that your name is praised in this place, and we dedicate this piano to your glory, to your honour, and to your praise. And we do it in humble, thankful hearts, in the name of Jesus. Amen. What have I got next? Any Americans here today? Anybody here from America, from the United States? Nobody at all? Any Americans in the congregation? Oh, we have one, I believe. Happy July the 4th for Peggy. She is flying the flag up at her place that day, as are her family. Well, I wonder what we'll be having for a postlude today. Listen. What else have I got here? Emily Sheehan did the bulletin for us today. Michelle's having a little break, and we are thankful to Emily for doing the bulletin. So we appreciate what she's doing, and I believe she's going to be doing it over the next couple of months, and we are thankful for that. What else have I got here? Oh, yes. You know we support, as a planted church, Radiant Life Church up in Campbell River, BC. Well, I got a phone call during the week from their pastor, Art Van Hulst, and he was so excited. And he says, this past Sunday, Ian, we baptized four adults, and you see them on the screen now, four adults, people who were previously street people with addictions of all different kinds. And he says, we baptized these four adults, and also two children were dedicated. And he was so excited. And he says, I wanted to share this with you so you can share it with your congregation, because he says, without the help and support that we get from you, our church, he says, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So well done to each and every one of you. Well done. Thank you. And the guy at the back in the glasses, in the yellow T-shirt, that's Art. And you can see his T-shirt's wet. That's why he stepped into the pool for the baptisms. And the four people you see in the centre there, they're the four people who were baptised. So that's exciting. It's nice to hear from Art about what's going on in his church. Thank you, Grant.
Oh, you're done. Oh.
Sorry to wake you.
Got a few more announcements. once again, with the grand piano that... I actually had this feeling come over me that I would go down there and play it, but then... It was dedicated to the glory of God, so that quickly passed. But you can still contribute via your church envelopes, and if you marked in piano fund, that would be very, very thankful for that. Thank you to everybody that put the Cremona Day Parade together. And a reminder about VBS, the 19th to the 23rd. Joanne, do you have any other needs for supplies or anything else?
Other than the long poles.
Okay.
Which I mentioned here. And we're still looking for one more shade tent.
Okay. One more tent?
Shade.
Shade tent.
Not a cabin tent, but just one of those shelters.
Okay. Did you guys get that? Good. The National Church Conference is July 7th to the 10th, and it's at North Bay, Ontario. And for those people and that are there and those people that may be going from here, please pray for them so that God will guide and inspire them. Alan Reed has posted a new list of door greeters. Make sure that you read that carefully, especially the Brandsmas. Oh, I didn't say that. Just kidding. Good thing they're not here. I'm safe. Anybody who is, I'll talk about the Yaha Tinda trip that we're doing. Some of us are leaving on Wednesday to be there. It's this weekend coming up. And I have some maps out in the foyer for those of you that have never been out there. There's some maps there if you're wishing to come. But Alan and Lita are going on Sunday morning. And if anybody, they're coming up for the service. And if there's anybody else that wants to come that morning, just talk to Alan. The Cremona Pioneer Apartments have just been recently cleaned up and renovated a little bit, and they're having an open house on Tuesday, the 13th, and that goes from 6:30 to 8:30, and anybody is welcome to go there and have a look at those. Susan, you have an announcement. Or two.
As you can see, Grant and I did our big bike ride last weekend, and it was a life-changing experience for me. It was one of the top highlights of my life thus far. We biked 220 kilometers over 2 days. The first day was the hardest. We biked 80 kilometers to Nanton, which wasn't too bad, but then the 35 through to the Porcupine Hills was really hard. And a very long day. But the second day was just lovely, up Highway 22 to 22X and back to Spruce Meadows. So I just wanted to thank, we wanted to thank everybody who supported us and encouraged us and who prayed for us last weekend. It was really just an amazing experience. So there you go. The other thing is a thank you to those that showed up to help with the float building the other night. I couldn't have done it on my own, and it would have looked really bad. So a huge, yes, for Jeff McIntosh and Alan, amazing to have you guys there. You did so much for us, and Lori's artistic talent in 5 minutes, she made up what we needed in just 5 minutes. It was just fantastic, and of course, Joanne's inspiration. So thank you to you guys. And lastly, probably some of you know that yesterday my nephew Caleb, so Phil and Andy's boy, had an accident and basically ripped off his pinky finger on his left hand. He had 4 hours of surgery yesterday at the Children's Hospital where they were able to get the blood flow back to the tip of his finger. And he didn't have a very good night last night, but I think he'll start to improve as the anesthetic comes out of his system and such. But he'll be in the hospital until about Wednesday at this point. So if you could just keep them in your prayers. It's pretty tough to keep a 7-year-old boy occupied when he can't use one of his hands. And any prayers and support you could give to Phil and Andy would be helpful. So thank you very much.
No, I'm done. He says he's done. When we have the children up for the children's address, we will together say a little prayer for Caleb. And we know that God will touch him with his healing hand. Any other announcements? We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. We read from the words of St. Paul, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Just before we get into our approach choruses, Case, stand up. Look at his shirt. Now, we have no idea why he's wearing that shirt. But I did hear that Holland had won a soccer game. Congratulations to Holland, and we wish them well in the semi-finals. Well done. Great. Okay, I'd like to welcome Pat now to lead us in our approach hymns.
Yes.
They are approach hymns.
Okay, awesome. Today I thought it would be nice to just to take some hymns out of the hymn book. So the first one is going to be 191, There is Power in the Blood. And we'll sing the first and the last verse of this one. Of course, we know I do nothing slow, so that was awesome. 345 is our next one, and Blessed Assurance. And we'll sing the first and last verse on this one as well. I'll try to go a little bit slower. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. To break in the piano with hymns this morning. So the last one is Because He Lives, and we'll do all three verses on this one. God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. My Savior lives, because He lives.
Our approach hymns this morning. When I talked to Pat about doing the approach choruses, she said to me, "I'm going to do hymns, you know, to get the new piano in and let's play some good old hymns." And she says, "I'll leave you a message on the phone." She chose 4 hymns and wanted to sing all of the verses. Which would have been great, but time constraints brought us down to what we did. But thank you, Pat. And doesn't the piano sound great? Beautiful. Thank you. During the course of our worship service this morning, we will be having different pianists from our church family playing the piano. And we will get a good supply of our new piano this morning. I know we're going to be greatly enriched in our worship because of that. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks, Father, because each of us has been given this wonderful opportunity of being able to come together in this your house on this your day. And we thank you, Father, because our hearts are overflowing, because when we look back upon the week that has passed, many things happened to us, some good things, some not so good things. But whatever came our way, gracious Lord, you were there. Your hand reached out and touched our lives and the lives of those around us. And we are so thankful, Lord, that you are with us, you sustain us, you strengthen us, and you richly bless us. And so, gracious Father, in this time of worship, we pray that you will accept the praise we bring. For we seek to bring honor and glory to the precious name of Jesus. And we pray, gracious Father, that you will open our hearts, that you will open our minds, and that each of us may hear your voice as you speak to us this day. We worship you, Father, in the name of Jesus, and we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. This is where Naaman is healed of his leprosy. Now, Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Bana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and he went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to come to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. The responsive reading this morning is from Psalm 30, verses 1 to 5. You'll find it in your bulletin. "I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me.
O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me out from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit.
Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. His anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning."
I would now like to invite Laurie Reed to come up and to present for us special music this morning. And Laurie, you can tell us what you're playing. Thank you.
This is a medley of a classical song and a well-known hymn. And some of you may recognize Moonlight Sonata by Beethoven mixed in with Fairest Lord Jesus.
Laurie, that was just beautiful. Thank you so very, very much. And you know what you just heard there? Beautiful. Our piano experts, we've got Peggy and we've got Pat and we've got... Who else told me about the piano? Peter. Peter. This piano, because it's just been moved, needs tuning. You wouldn't think it, would you, from what we just heard? Beautiful. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Father, we know that we can never adequately express how we feel about how you care for us and bless our lives so richly. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these, our gifts, to you. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude, but we ask you, Father, to accept these gifts and accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake. Amen. And our thanks to Monique for her playing of the piano in that offertory. Thank you, Monique. Good job. Would the children like to come and join me, please? Well, it's nice to see you all this morning. Good morning. Hello. How are you? That's nice. Nice to see you. Would you like to sit down? See if we can squish you in. Can we squish this young lady in here? There you go. You sit right there. That's your seat. Oh. Hello. How are you? Right. We're going to start this morning. We're going to say a prayer. And we're going to say a prayer for Caleb. Caleb's hurt his hand and he's in the hospital. So what do you think we should ask God to do for Caleb? Help him? Give him what? Give him a present. What a nice. We might be able to help God with that. Get his pinky back on. That's good prayer, yeah? Yeah. A what? A cast to put on his pinky. These are all good things. And you know, and you can say your own prayers for Caleb. Because God, what, sweetheart?
Help the blood go away.
Help the blood to go away. Well, we hope it'll stay in there, actually. But I know what you mean. Good one. Good one. So shall we put our hands together and shall we say a prayer for Caleb? because God listens to all of our prayers, especially when we pray for other people, okay? Heavenly Father, we pray for Caleb at this time. You know where he is, Lord, and you know that he's hurt his finger. And we thank you, Father, that up till now, you have been with him, you have showered him with your love and care, and he's getting good, well looked after at the hospital. But we pray, gracious Father, that your holy healing spirit may be upon him, that you will do for him all of the things that we have mentioned, Lord, and we pray that he may be healed. We also pray for his mum and dad and his brothers, that you will help each of them to help him. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now you can pray for Caleb as well on your own, and for anybody else you need to pray for. Okay. Now then, I've got a little story for you. The pastor of a church and his wife were coming to the church one Sunday evening. They were going to have a service there. And when they arrived, they saw a girl who was about Caleb's age, actually. How old is Caleb?
Seven.
So this girl was about seven. And she was sitting on the steps of the church outside. And she had a big backpack in front of her. And you could see that it was full. Now then, when the minister and his wife saw this, they started wondering, I wonder what's going on here. What do you think might have been going on there? She had a big backpack and it seemed to be packed full. What do you think might have been going on? Any ideas? No? Yeah? She's been taking care of somebody? Who? Well, you know what the pastor's wife thought? I mean, what are you normally doing if you pack your bag? Nope, not with an elephant. There were socks and things sticking out, you know. What do you think? When do you pack your bag? When you're camping, when you're going somewhere. And they saw her with her bag packed and they thought, is she going somewhere? I wonder where she's going. So the pastor's wife went over and asked her, are you going somewhere? And she said, yes. She said, well, where are you going? And she said, well, this morning, when the pastor was talking to us, he said to us, he asked us a question, which one of you would follow Jesus wherever he goes? And she said, I will. And so she says, I've got my bag packed and I'm ready to follow Jesus. Do you think that's what the pastor meant? Well, kind of. What the pastor meant was that Jesus wants all of us to follow him, but he doesn't need us to pack our bags. When he sent his followers out to spread the word of God and Jesus, he said, don't pack anything. Don't pack your bags. Just talk to people, and if they listen to you, they will listen to, they're listening to God. And if they reject you, then they're rejecting Jesus. So we don't need to pack our bags to follow Jesus. All we have to do is pack his love into our hearts, and he will care for us as he cares for all of you now, and as he's caring especially for Caleb. Okay? Another little prayer. Father, we thank you that you love us, that you care for us. And we pray that you will help us and teach us just how you want each one of us to follow you in our hearts and in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Chelsea, over to you. All yours. Thank you. Thanks, Chelsea. And so we now stand and we sing to the glory of God, the hymn number 10, O Worship the King, All Glorious Above. Hymn number 10. Come to our time of prayer, and as we've already mentioned, young Caleb, he needs our prayers, and God will hear our prayers for him. I would also ask you to keep in your hearts and prayers Reg Francis and Alice. Of course, Reg is not doing too well. You know, when we pray, sometimes we forget the bit that goes at the end, and we say, "Nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done." And God answers our prayers according to his will, and it is the Lord's will that we desire to be done. Sometimes we can't always understand that at this particular moment in time, but as we travel along the road of life, I think God reveals more to us of what's going on. So whoever we're praying for, we pray in that vein, that not my will, but thy will be done. When somebody prays for the Holland soccer team, someone's praying for the other team as well, you know. And we don't know, do we? Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Father, we thank you for the many wonderful blessings that you do bestow upon us. Many of these blessings, Lord, which come to us as complete surprises. So very often, Lord, you take what seems ordinary and plain, and you make these things special and gifted. You take ordinary people, and through them, Lord, you reach out and you touch the lives of others. And sometimes, Lord, through ordinary people, you even move mountains. You give us jobs to do, Father. You give us tasks to accomplish. And often we think these things, Lord, are way beyond our own strength and our own capabilities. And yet we discover once again, with your patient care and in your strength, All things are possible to those who love you, Lord, and who are called to your purpose, and all those, Lord, who put their faith and their trust in you. We thank you, Father, and we ask you to keep on surprising us with your grace and with your favour, and especially with our Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ, who not only believes in us, but trusts us to do his work and to share his love with all whom we meet. And we know, Father, that as Jesus sent out so many people in the past to tell others of his love for them, that right now, Lord, you send us. And now, Lord, here in the beauty of holiness, we bring before you our prayers, our concerns, and especially, Lord, those people whom you have laid upon our hearts to care about. And sometimes, Lord, we worry about them and to pray about them. And right now, Lord, we come to you with these prayers, with these burdens, with these worries. And we present them, Lord, in silence before your throne of grace. We pray in silence. Heavenly Father, this week ahead, our National Forces Church will be meeting in North Bay, Ontario for their national conference. And we just pray, Lord, that you will bless and inspire your people as they gather for this important event. And we pray, gracious Father, that your Spirit may be upon them and that your will may be revealed to each and every one of them for our congregational churches. And we have other important events coming up, Lord. Next weekend, our church family, some of our church family will be out camping. And also, Lord, in a few weeks' time, we will be having our vacation Bible school here. And we know, gracious Father, that children are your children. All of us are your children, Father. So whether we be out camping and worshipping you at the Yaha Tinder, or whether we be coming together in the Vacation Bible School, we pray, Lord, that your word may be made known to all people wherever they gather, that people may see your followers standing up and declaring the message that Jesus died and rose again, that all who follow him may have a wonderful life. And so, Father, we pray that you will bless the leaders, especially the Vacation Bible School leaders, as they prepare to open the minds of children to your holy word. And we pray for that, Father, that you will bless and call the children, that they may come and learn of your love for them. And in turn, Lord, that these children may be your channels of blessing to their own homes, to their own families, and to their own circle of friends. We thank you, Father, for our own church, for our church family, and for all that this place and this gathering together means to us. We thank you, Lord, for the warmth of the fellowship, and we pray, gracious Father, that you will touch our lives and that you will show us how you would want us to go out and to share your blessed love with others. Bless us, gracious Lord, as we worship. Inspire us by your Spirit. Guide us and protect us in the week ahead as we seek, Father, in our own small way, to lift high the glorious name of him who gave his life, that we might have life in abundance. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
gospel lesson this morning is from St. Luke, chapter 10, starting in verse 1. hopefully my allergies will stay under control while I do this. This is entitled, Jesus Sends Out the 72. After the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go, he told them, "The harvest is plentiful, and the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks on our feet, we wipe off against you.'" And then moving on to verse 16. "He who listens to you, listens to me. He who rejects you, rejects me. But he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." And he replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And the epistle this morning comes from Galatians chapter 6, starting at verse 1. "Brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you will also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instructions in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have this opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers."
Thanks to Charlie for those readings from the scriptures. We stand again and we sing to the glory of God, the hymn number 297, "I Love to Tell the Story."
Jesus and his glory, of Jesus.
Isn't that a great old hymn? Didn't you enjoy singing that old hymn? Excellent. To me, that hymn that we just sang there, it's a perfect summary of the gospel reading that Charlie read to us today about Jesus sending out his followers to tell people. I love to tell the story, and everybody tells that story in a different way, in their own unique way. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The pastor of a church tells of a lady who called him to speak of her dissatisfaction with the church programs. He invited her to come to his office and to discuss whatever problems that she had with him. So she accepted the invitation and brought to his attention some of the things that she thought were needed and could be done. He acknowledged the wisdom of her ideas, and then he said to her, "This is wonderful that you are so concerned and interested in this. You are the very person that our church needs to head up this program. Will you take the job?" And guess what her reply was? "Oh, I don't want to get involved. What with my club work and all of the hours that I put into all of the other things I do, I just don't have the time. However," she said, "I will be glad to advise you at any time." The pastor's answer was classic. He said, "Gracious lady, that's the problem now. I already have over 200 advisors. I need someone who will work." Last Sunday, if you remember, our gospel reading led us to look at the reasons and the excuses that people give for not following Jesus. And right immediately following that, we read this in Luke chapter 10. "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.' And then he said, 'Go, I am sending you out like lambs amongst wolves.'" Oof. How's that for a delicious assignment? Sending you out like lambs among wolves. Can you imagine a scarier prospect? We are the lambs, by the way, and out there's the wolves. This reading from St. Luke tells us that Jesus sent out 72 followers. Did anybody have a different number in their minds than 72? Reason I ask that, you see, is because there are quite a lot of biblical manuscripts around that quote the number as 70. I checked out 10 different versions of the Bible and found that they were pretty equally split between 70 and 72. Well, why is this? Why do some say 70? Why do some say 72? Well, I did a bit of research on it, and I'm going to try and give an explanation. Go back right to the book of Genesis, chapter 10. And following Noah and the great flood, at that time, it was supposed that the number of nations in the world was 70. There were believed to be 70 nations in the world. Therefore, this figure of 70 represented the whole world. If we move on to the book of Numbers, chapter 11, we read of Moses in the wilderness complaining to God. That's the Charlton Heston Moses that we're all familiar with. So Moses is complaining to God, and he says, "I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. So God instructed Moses to bring him 70 of the leaders of the people of Israel. And they were all appointed as elders. 70. 70, remember, representing the whole world. And again, an indication that this gospel that God was giving, first of all, to these Israelites wandering in the wilderness, was for the whole world. However, that number of 70 elders grew to 72 when two other men, Eldad and Medad, were added to the 70. So 70 became 72. And since that time, some of the ancient biblical manuscripts quote the number of 70 being sent out by Jesus, and some quote 72. It doesn't matter. It represents the whole world. Jesus is sending out his disciples, his followers, to take this message to the whole world. The mission of the God of the Old Testament remains unchanged to the same God of the New Testament. God in Christ Jesus is for the world, for the whole world. So Jesus sent out his followers, doesn't matter how many, but he sent them out two by two. And there's even a reason for that. Apart from being support for one another and company for one another, Mosaic law states that two witnesses are required for testimony to be credible. Two witnesses are required for testimony to be credible. So two by two they went. And then another instruction that Jesus gave them, which I think is kind of interesting, is do not take a purse, do not take a bag or sandals, and the next bit, and do not greet anyone on the road. So is Jesus saying here, when you're out there, don't talk to anybody? I don't think Jesus is saying that at all. The mission Jesus is sending them on is important and it is urgent. And he didn't want them to be burdened with worldly possessions, which is the first part about bags and purses and sandals and all that kind of thing. Because worldly possessions can become a burden and they can become more important than what Jesus wants us to do. We think more about the things we possess and our goods and our toys than we do about our purpose of the word of God to God's people. And so the second instruction comes along, and do not greet anyone on the road. Jesus is not here telling people to be ungracious to fellow travellers. There was a Jewish custom of long and elaborate, time-consuming greetings when they met one another on the road. They knew what visiting was about. Bit like here when we have some function in the hall. You know, the visiting that goes on, wow, that is visiting. And the same kind of thing happened when Jewish travellers met on the road. And their visiting didn't last for half an hour or an hour. It could go on for days. Sharing news of what's going on there and what was going on there. And they visited big time. Their work of God's kingdom must take precedence over everything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So Jesus is not saying, don't say hello to people, don't greet them, don't even share a meal. He says, don't spend a few days. You do not have that time at your disposal. First, the kingdom of God. They carried a message so vital, so life-changing, that everyone needs to hear it. Jews, Gentiles, saints, sinners, the those who are ready, those who are not ready. Nothing should get in their way. And that is why he told them, travel light and do not waste time. Travel light, do not waste time. So Jesus tells them, don't take stuff with you. And don't waste time on small talk. Keep moving. Keep healing. And now I want to jump right ahead to verse 17. Something else interesting that Jesus said. The 72 disciples have returned from this mission, this dangerous mission that Jesus has sent them out on, and Jesus is now reflecting on their ministry, on their achievements. They had gone out. They had followed Jesus' instructions to the letter. And even they themselves were amazed at what had happened. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Even the demons submit to us in your name." And Jesus replied, and this is what's interesting, Jesus replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." What's Jesus talking about here? Is he talking about way back when he was with the Father and the Holy Spirit before he came to earth? Or is he talking about now? "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." The disciples said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And Jesus says, "I saw Satan fall." Do something for me here. For a moment, I want you to ponder this question. Has there ever been a time in your life when you believe that Jesus could have looked at what was going on in your life at that time and made the comment, "I saw Satan fall"? Just think about that. Maybe you will be better equipped to answer that question after we have looked at how can we bring about Satan's fall. How can we make Satan fall? When a person trusts Jesus with their life, their whole life, Satan falls. Jesus said to them, "Go, I am sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road." And they did it. They obeyed to the letter what Jesus asked them to do. What amazing trust. And that is the kind of trust in Jesus that causes Satan to fall. When I was talking to the children, we talked about this little girl. And the pastor had said, "Jesus wants you to follow him, to forsake everything else and to follow him." And that little girl's trust in Jesus was to such a great degree, her commitment to Jesus was total. She was on the steps of our church with her bag packed. Bless her little heart. That's what she believed was required of her, and she was there. Commitment to Jesus. When following Jesus, we cease trusting in the world and in worldly things and in our own resources, in our stuff around us, and instead we totally trust Christ. When a person stands firm against evil, in whatever form that evil may take, Satan falls. Satan falls. In verses 10 and 11, Jesus instructed his disciples not to waste their time with people who will not listen to their message. If they won't listen, if they don't care, if they're not committed at all, he says, "Move on, wipe the dust of that town from your feet and tell them that the kingdom of God is near, but they have brought about their own destruction by their rejection of Christ." Destruction is brought about by a rejection of Christ. And that is the same message today. Exactly the same message today. Jesus says, be practical. If they welcome you and if they welcome their message, stay a while, talk a while, share with them. But he says, just obediently, obediently exercise your faith and Satan will fall. Satan will fall. A man went to see a psychiatrist and reported that he had a difficulty every time he arrived at his home. He said he would walk into his bedroom thinking that there was someone under his bed. So he would crawl under the bed and he would check it out. And when he was under the bed, he became convinced that there was someone on top of his bed. So he would come out and jump on top of the bed and check it out. No one there. And then his conviction would come back again that there was someone under the bed. And so it went on, top, underneath, top, underneath. The psychiatrist reassured him that he did have a problem, but it was a correctable problem. He could be cured, but it would require weekly visits for about 6 months to a year to dig out the deep-rooted conflicts within his mind and within his soul. Oh, and by the way, each visit would cost $100. The patient left the office, didn't make any appointments. About 6 months later, the psychiatrist ran into this man on the street and he asked him, "How are you getting on with your little problem?" And he said, "When you told me how long it would take to cure me and the cost involved," he says, "well, I was devastated. And I have to admit, I immediately went to the bar to drink away my despair. But you know," he says, "the bartender cured me in just one session." The psychiatrist says, "Well, what in the world did this man behind the bar do? What did he say to you?" "And he told me to go home and saw the legs off the bed." Be practical, be realistic. That's what Jesus is saying to you and I. He says, when you're out there and you're delivering the word of the Lord, you're delivering the good news of Jesus, he says, be practical. You know, be realistic. If people don't want to listen, don't waste your breath. Don't stand there arguing with them. Move on. And you are expected, all you are expected to do is to obediently exercise your faith. And Satan will fall. Satan will fall if you're just exercising your faith. Doesn't have to be a great big amount of faith. Even just a little bit of faith will do. Just do your best for Jesus and Satan will fall. And when a person is so at one with Christ that Christ lives and acts through that person, then Satan will fall. In verse 16, Jesus says, "He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Wow, what a verse. You are standing there and you are representing God, the Almighty Creator of everything, this whole world. And what you are saying is on God's behalf, and the power of God stands behind you. Wow. What power God gives to his followers. This is getting pretty radical. We are getting right down to the bottom of things here again. Let's look at it again. Jesus says, "He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me." And this is a radical picture of oneness with Christ. You and I are one with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And this is consistent with all of Jesus' teachings. This is what Jesus teaches. Go to the upper room following the Last Supper. You remember when Jesus prayed that prayer, which is known as the high priestly prayer? He prayed for his disciples there and then, and he prayed for his disciples, all of those to follow, you and I. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." You and I, one with the Father, one with the Son, one with the Holy Spirit. Wow! Power. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There is power in the blood. Power in the blood. And when this happens, when we have this oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan falls. When a person is so at one with Christ that Christ acts and lives through that person, wow, Satan falls. And it doesn't have to be great big stuff. We're not all called to be a Billy Graham. Most of us are called as ordinary people, living ordinary lives and doing little things for the kingdom. Question: has there ever been a time in your life and in your ministry when Jesus has looked at what is going on around about you and he has smiled and said, "I saw Satan fall. I saw Satan fall"? Satan falls when a person trusts Jesus with their life. Satan falls when a person stands firm against evil, no matter what form that evil may take. And Satan falls when a person is so at one with Christ that Christ lives and acts through that person. I want to close by just touching very briefly on Jesus' words in verse 20 of this scripture reading. And these words are significant, of hugely significant importance to you and I. Jesus says, "However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you in my name, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. If you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do your best to present the Lord Jesus Christ to the world, and it might be in a tiny, weeny, titchy little way, and you might not even succeed, but your name is written in heaven, and that is what you rejoice about. Rejoice about that. Your name is written in heaven. And for this, we say, thanks be to God. Amen. Our closing hymns, 354, "We Stand and Sing to God's Glory, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms."
We see the need.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.